I'm going to just give you a few little things today, and I pray that you all have a beautiful Mother's Day. I know you probably are going to go to lunch with your families, and so I want to also honor my mother today. I'm telling you, I know you all, most of you, some of you didn't have a great mom, but I'll tell you this about her. She did the best she could with you. And you probably know where she came from and her parents and why she was the way she was. But you know what? She put that character in you that you have today. She put some kind of strength in you that you wouldn't have had without her. I'm going to tell you, God never gives a woman a child that he does not choose to place something in that child that will take them into the path that he would lead them. And I was blessed to have a wonderful mother. My mama was just, she was so precious. She was such a good mom. There were six of us kids, two boys and four girls. And we usually had, thank God, we would have a three-bedroom house. The boys got one room. All four girls got the other room. And mom and daddy were lucky enough to have their own room. And but she took care of us all and took good care of the food and the house. And I remember she made sure that we all had our school clothes and daddy had his work clothes. But there were so many times that she would do without. You know, you'd see her wearing the same thing. And then he would come home and bring her a little something, and she would get all over him. Why did you bring that to me? You knew we couldn't afford that. Why? And we'd say, Mom, receive that. Mama, he loves you. And, oh, she just thought that was the worst. She couldn't receive anything herself. And that's kind of the way the old girls used to be. And now the new girls is like, hey, baby, you're on your own. No, not really. But Linda's mother had 12 kids. And I'm sure maybe even a three-bedroom would have been a luxury. Maybe even a two-bedroom. 12 kids. And I knew her mother. And her mother was one of the most gentle, sweetest women. And if you've met Linda, you've met her mom. She's so much like her. And where's my Gabby? How many kids? 12? 11 children. And you should see these guys' family trees. I mean, you and I, we could have a, you know, Christmas time, I'll have maybe 47 of our own family in my house, and we think that's big out of six kids. But these guys have to rent a hall. You know, they got to go get the ladies' club or American Legion or something so they can have it, or the veterans' building. But I'm just happy today that one of our presidents said we need to honor our moms. And I also want to honor my daughter, Sarah. Sarah is a wonderful mother. And I know one of our rewards, ladies, is when we see our girls rise up and become mothers. And it's so rewarding to see how she takes care of the kids, loves them, disciplines them. And Sarah is a great mom. So let me honor her motherhood today, too. Amen. Well, you say, where did Mother's Day come from? I may have told you this a few years ago, haven't said it in a while. But on May 9th, 1914, first Mother's Day, 1914, President Woodrow Wilson and Congress declared and set the date that the second Sunday in May, every single year, would be Mother's Day. President Wilson said that this day has been set aside as a time for the public expression of our love and reverence for the mothers of our country. Come on, let's thank God for Mr. Woodrow Wilson, president, that said, let's honor the mothers of our land and our country. When you just start thinking of all the things that your mothers do, you young moms, the things that you do at home for your kids, and when you think of everything your mother did for you growing up, it's astounding. And you can see God working in the tapestry of the whole thing. David works sometimes, all the time. He'll work 2 days in a row, and then he has his 4 days off. Well, when he does, and I get the opportunity, I don't have to, but I go over and stay with the kids and Sarah. But she takes them to school every morning. She does that. She jumps around, gets her lunches, da-da-da-da-da. Well, the other day, something came up. She had to get to work. The machine was down, so she had to get there. And she had me take them to school. And I got them there on time. And, yeah. And so, You know, you just look and see all that these young mothers do is just crazy. And yeah, you guys are picking them up, taking them to school. You're doing better than me. They do it every day. Now I pick up 2 days a week, but I get there on time too. In fact, I get there early. Don't want to ruin my reputation with you, but I get there early. Well, anyway, just a few of the things mamas do. They're chauffeurs, of course, chauffeurs. And they are teachers and comforters. And if you don't think they're a nurse, just let the little one get a skint knee or something. Who do they run to? Listen, they will even bypass me to get to her. When they start bypassing Nana to get to Mama, that shows you the power of a mama. She's a nurse. She's a cook. Well, not much of a cook. But, you know, these new girls, she can when she does it. And I know you girls can, too. But, you know, not having to do those dishes in the evening when you've worked all day is a pretty good deal. And so, you know, they'll Grubhub and all those and go out and drive through and come down and sit in the dining room. And so, anyway, we're cooks and counselors. Oh, you got to. My mother, I'm telling you, was the greatest counselor that I ever had. I could have paid later on hundreds of dollars to a counselor and never had a counselor like my mother. I'm just telling you, she always knew what to say. And as David was saying, mothers are peacemakers and peacekeepers. Sometimes dads, Rick, you get this, and you men get this. Many of you men like to be just a peacekeeper. Mamas are saying, we're making peace right now. I'm going to take care. We are making peace. That's what I'm going to do. So you make peace, and they're both mentioned in the Word of God, to be a peacekeeper and a peacemaker. They know how to do it. And then there's the maid, and there's the entertainer, and then keep watch over the kids 24/7. Nowadays, these young girls, we didn't have it. We just listened. If they cried, we went in there. Now they got the little monitor sitting by the bed. Every time the baby turns over, and they got the light on there to show them what's going on in the bedroom. Maybe we didn't want that, you know? But anyway, and of course, spiritual advisors teaching their children is so much more. And mamas, you all remember the power of your mother's kiss. Remember that? She'd put that kiss on that little owie. It just made it all better. And that never got old. It still happens now. It's still going on. The power of mama's kiss, the power of a mama's song. At night when they go to bed, or maybe when they're not feeling well, mama, you just sing them a song, and they're just going to be so happy with that song. They love your song, and you can't even sing. But there's just the power of that song. And then to trust them and respect the kids. You know, I know I get a little personal with you guys, but I have the microphone, so I guess it's what I do. So I you know, on the cars today, or at least in my car, there's a little lock for the windows. And it's a child lock, and so they can't roll the window down. Well, if you've got little kids, you know, they like to play with the windows. They like to roll those windows down. And then when you start going a little faster, it sounds like a helicopter, and it just messes with your ears. So I'd always keep it locked, and please, now I'll open that window. Let's hit that lock so we can open them. So they're older now, you know. So the other day I said, hey, you guys, you know what? I haven't told you guys this. I picked them up at school. I said, hey, I've got a brand new trust for you today. I've added some respect because you're older now and you're smarter and you're wiser. And I said, I think I'm going to keep the windows unlocked. But I'm going to trust you to know when to close them and open them. You know, when we're going slower, you can open them. But when we start to go fast, you know when to shut those windows. What? Really? Oh, Nana, really? You're going to really? We get to do it by yourself? Oh, yeah. Big deal, big deal. It's called the power of trust, the power of respect. And I said, yeah. You know what? They rolled that window down. We were cruising along there. Well, Parker rolled his up. Ainsley's was still down a little bit, but she's older and smarter. And he says, Ainsley, don't you think you ought to roll that window up now? You be quiet, I'll do it when I'm ready. In other words, Nana, trust me. Something to be said about trust and respect, but the power, now I'm sorry, I'm talking about Mother's Day, not Nana Day. But you know how it is, don't you, Lynn? Okay, the power of a mama's touch. I mean, I told Annette this morning, we were talking on the phone early. She was talking about Rochelle down there. I said, Rochelle, listen, because I just had this message in my heart. Rochelle, there's a power in your touch because you're her mama. She is the fruit of your womb. Now you just go in there, and you just touch your baby. You just touch her, hold her little hand. Oh, she's probably, what, 30-something? 32. And so she still wants her mama's love. You just go in there with your love and your touch. There's a power in your touch. And she has it. She said she would even have little tears come in her eyes. But the power of a mama's prayer, there's no measurement. There's no measurement. Your prayers will reach way out there into another state, into another country. Your prayers go where your kids don't want your prayers to go. When they grow up and start being teenagers and they want to mess around, oh, honey, just send that prayer right into that car. Just send that prayer right in to that party with them. You just send the prayer. It's all powerful. Hallelujah. Here's what Abraham Lincoln said about a mother. He said, no one is poor who had a godly mother. And he went on to say, I remember my mother's prayers, and they have followed me, and they have clung to me all my life. All that I am and hope to be, I owe to my angel mother, Abraham Lincoln. Charles Spurgeon, who was called the Prince of Preachers, one of my favorite, he wrote, never could it be possible for any man to estimate what he owes to a godly mother. Billy Sunday, again, one of the greatest preachers of the 20th century. Billy Sunday said, oh, I love this. Listen, there is more power in a mother's hand than in a king's scepter. Billy Sunday also said, a mother understands even what her child did not say. Amen, mama? Sometimes you even get what they're not saying. Okay, what's wrong with you? You can tell every time. I don't care if they're married. I don't care how old they are, how long they've been out of your home. You still know when something's wrong. So today, I know I've got a few quotes here, but we're just going to honor and remember our mothers. And I'll be taking flowers to the cemetery in a little while just to remember my sweet mother. After all our mothers have done for us, the least we could do is have a day a year. I'm so thankful for this president that declared this day. After all that you do for your children and all that our mothers did for us, good or bad, they left something in you that no one can ever, ever take away. So make sure, if your mama is still living, that you call her, or you've sent her a card, just make sure that you let her know that you appreciate your mama. Listen to this quote by Billy Sunday, probably one of the most powerful I have ever heard. Billy Sunday says this, being a king, an emperor, or a president is mighty small potatoes compared to being a mother. Or the teacher of children, whether you're in a public school or a Sunday school. Mothers fill places so great that there isn't an angel in heaven that wouldn't be glad to give a bushel of diamonds to come down here and take that mama's place. Isn't that beautiful? Not a king or an emperor could take that place. A small potatoes compared to a mother. You see these young women at school teaching our children, and you see them, and their heart is in it. You know why? Because they're mothers. Many, many, we're always talking about the bad teachers, but there's many, many sweet teachers, and they take it with such honor and respect to teach our children, and when the kids love them, they're to be honored too. So, folks, make sure if your children have a good teacher, you let them know you appreciate them. I love this one. Billy Sunday also said, great preacher, commanding an army is little more than sweeping a street or pounding an anvil compared with the training of a boy or girl. The mother will put in motion, listen to this, a mother puts in motion influence that will either touch heaven or hell. Talk about greatness. Talk about a powerful influence. You know, however Maybe you weren't saved when your children were coming up. Maybe you've got one in prison or here or there. Maybe they're doing well, but there's the influence of the mother that takes us into different places. I want to talk for just a moment, and I'm going to show you a scripture here in Exodus. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn. Go to Exodus chapter 1 and 2. Chapter 1 in Exodus. I want to tell you where Moses got his faith. Where did Moses get his faith? I'll tell you right now, he got it from his mother. Got it from his mother. Dee, I want you to remind me before service is over, I need to pray for one more person. I forgot Stacy, Debbie, but we'll get her covered. Debbie, you're here with your mama today. Loretta, I honor you today for being so good to your mother. Loretta has been such a sweet mother and had a precious mother and beautiful sisters, and you're still providing for her and taking care of her and all that she's been through. And I'll tell you, there is a reward for us, ladies. There is a reward for you. You've been through, and mothering is not easy, and no one ever said it was easy. And those of you, maybe you had abortion, you were still a mother, and one day you'll see those children. But when we say things about that, we are never condemning you. We're just trying to prevent others from it so they don't feel the pain of it. So I bless you today as well. All right, are you looking at Exodus chapter 2? Where did Moses get his backbone to say, I will not be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter? What? He's living in the palace and he doesn't want to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter? Well, he got it from his mother. Where did Moses get the nerve to go up to Pharaoh, King Pharaoh, and say, let God's people go? Where did he get that strength? Oh, of course, he got it from God, but it came through his mother. The power of his mother that taught him great strength. In closing, I want us to look at her, but I want you to see, we talk a lot about what she did with baby Moses, but I want you to see chapter 1, Exodus 1 and 22. Look at this. 1 and 22. So Pharaoh commanded all of his people, saying, every son who is born, you shall cast him into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Okay, all the little boys that are born to the Hebrew people, to everybody, just throw them in the river. They drown, they go away, but save the girls. Now that's what Moses' parents were looking at. She's going to have the baby, and in those days they didn't know if it was a boy or a girl. And they had to wait until it was born. And look at chapter 2. Let me read just a few verses. Chapter 2, verse 1. And a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw him, he was a beautiful child. She hid him for how long? Okay, he's not a newborn anymore. She hid him for 3 months, but when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrush for him and daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in the basket and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank, okay? With that pitch and the bulrush and asphalt, it wouldn't sink. Water couldn't get into it. So she put it by the river's bank, verse 4. And his sister stood afar off to know what was going to be done with him. Verse 5, and then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. And so she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. And then his sister, Moses' little sister Miriam, then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Goes right to Moses' mother. And then Pharaoh's daughter said to Moses' mother, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. Amen. Let me tell you something. The devil is loose. He's running hard. He's trying to outdo everything he can in America today. He's trying to take down marriages. He is trying to take down homes. He is trying to kill the school system as we know it. He's trying to kill the American dollar and the economy around the world. He's killing babies just like then. Everything that he can do, he is doing to destroy. But I'm telling you today on this Mother's Day, this message is probably one of the most important. Just this one little verse said, take this child away and nurse him for me. Now, her daddy is the king Pharaoh, and he said, throw these babies in the river. Well, that's what mama did. She put him in the river, just like the old dictator said. Then what happened? This woman had to have a backbone in her that hard times couldn't break. She didn't bow down to popularity. She didn't care what the other mothers were doing. She didn't go ask them, what are you going to do? You had a baby boy. What you going to do? No, she hid him for 3 months. I don't know where she hid him. Where could she hide him? They lived in tents. There's not a lot of hiding places in a tent. No closets. She didn't ask anyone. She just sought the Lord, and he led her, and she followed. The Bible says in chapter 3, it says she didn't fear him because she feared God more than she feared Pharaoh. And that's what's wrong with the body of Christ today. See, people are beginning to fear other things more than God. And when you fear that more than you fear God, then we have issues. But when we put the fear back where it belongs, it's called respect to him, then you don't have to fear those things. So she thought, I have a baby boy. Now Pharaoh said, get rid of him. And here this girl, the daughter of Pharaoh, goes down there, as their custom was. They took baths in the river. She goes down there, sees a little baby, and it is a boy. See, that's how you can tell. Probably didn't have a diaper on. So you can tell a boy from a girl. Just pull the diaper off. Okay? And it stays that way. So, it's a boy. And she said, oh, and she knew, my daddy loves me. He loves me. If I want to keep this baby, he'll let me keep this baby. And she took that baby home, and old King Pharaoh, as that baby's growing up, he's like, goo goo gag gag, goo goo gag. You know, just playing with this baby. Daddy, I'm going to let his mama keep him. She's going to nurse him. Having no idea that it was, well, had no idea it was really his mother. But Pharaoh's daughter said, look at that verse 9. Kathy, keep that verse 9 up. She said to his sister, see, mama put him in that basket. And those, in those days, this was like swamp. I mean, this was like alligator-filled places. And see, when you fear God more than that, the Holy Spirit, I would suggest, probably said, alligators, out of here. You go the other direction. You were coming here, but I need you to go that way. And it's just like a remote. They just go, and they just take off and go another way. So she had the fear of God, so she put the baby there. And the girl says, yeah, go get the mother. And verse 9 says, and then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him. Nurse him for me, and I will give you wages. So here's what I want to tell you mamas today. Here's what I want to tell you girls and about your mother that's already gone on. God gave us a child, that handsome little boy in your lap, sweetheart. He said, I'm going to give this little guy to you. And I want you to raise him. And I want you to teach him. And I want you to educate him. And I want you to grieve for him when he's going through. You've got to discipline and love and raise him up in the way he should go. And when you begin to do that, I'll help you out. And then he says, I have wages for you. And I have rewards for you. And I've got some good wages. So ladies, let me tell you something. You took that child that God gave you. You took it and you said, Lord, I will do it. And you say, well, I know, but look what happened to me. I was pregnant, but I lost my child. I know, Micah. I know, Adriana. But we don't know what God knows. What does God have for you? What does he have? I don't know. But he gave you that child. And what did you do? You gave birth to it. However that happened. You grieved over it when it was gone. But that baby came right on time. And I'm going to tell you, that baby accomplishes its purpose. Whether it only lives to be 2 weeks old, or whether it lives to be 10 months old, or whether it grows up and goes to school and gets married, it's still going to serve its purpose. So I want to tell you, you all fit in the category that God says, I gave you this child. Some of you, yeah, but I'm so ashamed. I wasn't serving the Lord, and I didn't do very well. And my kids, you know, they're out there in the world. I was so stupid. Doesn't matter what you were. You're born again now. And God said, I've got wages for you, and I've got rewards for you. And it's never too late. Ladies, you just stand. You've got a backbone in you. And you continue to be strength to your children, your sons, and your daughters. If they'll let you, sometimes they may back out, like the lady we prayed for a couple of weeks ago. She said, my daughter's not been home in 2 years. And all of a sudden, there was a great compassion that came up in me, and I began to cry. I said, honey, she's coming home this week. And I mean, I knew it in my heart. And we called that girl to call her mother and miss her, and that girl called her on Monday. Called her and was crying, Mama, can I come and see you? They had already had dinner by Wednesday night. Keep praying. Don't ever stop. But don't think one time that God is standing over you with a big stick because you didn't do it right, thumping on your head. He said, no, I gave these to you. And now I have wages and rewards for you. And I'm going to tell you guys, we don't even know what that entails. That's so big. Do you know some of the blessings that you have already received in this life? It could be because you raised those children. Simply because you had held your head up and your shoulders back. And some of us were single parents, and that wasn't always easy. And Andrea, here you are, a single mom raising that little boy. Not easy. But God said, I have rewards and I have wages. And I say to you today, mamas, you are to be honored. I honor you today. Jesus honors you. And I want you to stand on your feet with me today. I'm just going to stop right there because this is such an awesome day. What can you say about moms? You could just go on and on and on. But I bless you all, especially you, not especially, but you young mothers just starting your families. How sweet is that? I've been in the hospital rooms when that baby comes out and the mom and dad, and they begin their brand new family. It is so sweet. You've been there on the other side to see the grieving. But however it was, there was something in the spirit, and it's still going on. It is still working. Father, I bless your precious women of God this day. If your word says, here, I've given you this child, raise it. Here, carry this child for me 2 weeks. That girl carried that child. She's a mother. If they said, Lord, just my child is here, my child is there, I don't get it, doesn't matter, it's their child. So, Lord, I call on, lift up your hands, ladies, lift up your hands. They're empty, just open them up to Jesus and say, I receive my rewards. And I receive my blessings, Lord. I receive my rewards. I receive the honor you give me, Lord. Whatever you have for me, I take it this day in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, now Stacy, I don't know if Stacy, Debbie's friend, has children or not, but I bless this young woman. We curse cancer in the name of Jesus. Father, may every cell of that cancer die. That which wants to kill, may it have death today. We speak death to you, cancer, in the name that is above every name that is named. Oh, Father, we bless her. Give her strength today. Encourage her heart, Lord. Encourage your heart. Bless the hospice people. Bless Debbie as she gives tender care, Father, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Again, Father, I thank you for the wages and the rewards for the women of God. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen. Amen. Happy Mother's Day to you, ladies. I love you. And don't forget to be here for our women's meeting on Thursday night at 6:30. Now, you all have a wonderful, wonderful Mother's Day lunch or whatever you're going to do. But I bless you today in Jesus' name. Father, may your glory rest upon your sweet people. And Father, I bless every tither, every giver in this house. May you open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Lord, I bless them with those wages and rewards that you have promised the mothers. And Father, I pray that even the finances will take a blessing over every home in this house. May checks come in the mail and they'll come right out of nowhere and be such a surprise to your people. And Lord, the things that are topsy-turvy right now and kind of tore up, I speak peace. Lord, make their crooked places straight in Jesus' name. Let your church say amen. God bless you all. Thank you for being here today. Did I forget anything? All right. God bless you. Thank you guys for honoring me today. I am honored to be the mother of the house. Thank you so much for the beautiful flowers, the offering, all that you have given. I love you all.